I'm healthy like a horse, man. Okay? Like a healthy horse. This is why. And now I'm catching my second wind. I'm finally, after 5.5 years, I'm beginning to be clear in my head. I know you've been watching my show. You go, wow, you've had a great conversation. Look, that's Holy Ghost. And I still Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you how I feel now. This is crazy good. I've got a massage therapist. She just started on this stuff about the same time. She just ordered hers. I was talking to her yesterday. She's like, this stuff is blowing my mind with what it's doing for me. I got my mom getting started on it, she said. I've got her clients. She's referring her clients to me. She said, I'm telling you, I've been looking for this stuff for years, she said. I've been looking for this stuff for years. I can't believe the difference. It's incredible. CGR, the number 4life.com. CGR, the number 4life.com. And then for your vitamin supplements, for these issues, CGRwellness.com. There is no greater poster child that you'll ever see than the one you're looking at right now. The accident that I've been through, given 3 to 6 months to live back in 2004. Wow. My gosh, folks, I am telling you.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a 4-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any 2 children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as 2 components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing, okay? The schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive, most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor.
They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
To Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, folks, you know, the challenges keep on coming, and they are a direct result of a significant plan and a significant agenda that exists. And it's an agenda that exists within Christendom, and it's an agenda that does now exist within Christendom, and that's a big part of the challenge that we're facing, is because of the fact that it has made itself into the church, and it is controlling a great deal of what takes place. I want to share with you, this is a piece that I shared the other day, and I believe that it is critically important that we understand we must stop the hypocrisy that is taking place. The only side of this, if you will, that Christianity fits into is on what is referred to as the conservative side. But it is grassroots. It is patriotic. You know, some want to call it Christian nationalism. Here's the deal at the end of the day. At the end of the day, our nation was founded for a moral and religious people. Our Constitution only works for a moral and religious people. Those moral and religious people welcome the opportunity for everyone to be able to live peacefully. And this is what the word says. And so long as it is within your ability, live peacefully with all men. But you can't live peacefully with a people who target the followers of Christ. And you can't live with people who generate this hate-filled rhetoric that is going on. And you can't promote on your platforms, if you are a media entity that is promoting itself as being God-centered and Christ-centered, and you understand this battle of evil and good, then you can't promote sodomy and abortion. the two just do not mix. And here's my message to that effect.
Board, man, let me see if we can get this to be not glaring and blaring in your ears. How about that? There we go. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. How about that? All right. Great to have you. We're going to give this just a minute. Let a couple of people jump on. This message is entitled Stop the Hypocrisy. Sodomy and abortion are not conservative biblical values. And going to wait just a minute and let a couple of folks jump on so we can share this message. You'll recognize the face of the gentleman in the upper corner here. At least I think most of you will. And he made some really valid statements about this issue, about the battle that we're in over the soul of our country, the battle that we're in for the for our children, for our kids, what they're doing to our kids, the mutilation of children, the gender dysfunctional just junk that is going on, the pornography, the pornographic material that's being forced into our kids, the fact that we went from 2% just 10, 11 years ago, roughly 2% identifying in the LGBTQ to today, according to George Barna's most recent research, 39% ages 16 to 25 now identify as LGBTQ, lesbian, sodomite, trans, queer, bisexual. This is indoctrination. This is years now of indoctrination. This goes back to Obergefell. This goes back to the legalization, the codifying. They didn't even need the respect marriage nonsense, the non-respect of marriage act. So let me read you what the Word of God says. The Word of God is evident in its view of homosexuality. The commonly quoted scriptures are Leviticus 18:22, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman; it is an abomination." Or Leviticus 20:13, "If a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and their blood is upon them." Jude 1, "Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desires, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire." Romans 1:26 through 28, "For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done." And then finally, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. That therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Homosexuality is clearly identified as something that is not in the will of God. It is not God's plan, God's purpose, or God's will for one to participate in any of that. Now, there's a couple of short videos actually that I found that I thought express this quite well. In fact, let me play one of those for you, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to play for you what Glenn Beck had to say, because I think that it's very valuable. But then I also want to speak to something that is going on that I think is not valuable.
To be like him. The male is a giver. So if you look at the male's body, there's nothing to receive. Is that clear? Is it clear? This is an exit. Claire. It is illegal to enter an exit.
And then there's this, which I thought was very powerful.
He loves you and wants a relationship with you. I'm queer. He loves you and wants a relationship with you. That's the only thing we have to say to anybody that's an unbeliever. I'm a crackhead. He loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. I'm a murderer doing life in prison. He loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. That's the good news, right? Now, if you accept that good news, I got bad news. If you accept that good news, I got bad news, and here's the bad news. In the same way that he died for you, now you gotta die for him. And if you accept him as Lord and not just Savior, you have to die to your will. You have to die to your way. You have to die to your desires. You have to die to your agenda. And because this is a king and not a presidential candidate, we cannot rewrite the Constitution based on your feelings and your attraction. I'm gay. He loves you and wants a relationship with you. I'm queer. He loves you and wants a relationship.
So important to understand that message. And so this is what Glenn Beck had to say. Check this out.
Creating all of this chaos and confusion and policies that lead to death. It's the same source it has always been. The author of all lies. We are not fighting against flesh and bone. We are fighting evil. Once we get that, you'll no longer be overwhelmed because you will understand this is a spiritual battle. And if we understand it's a spiritual battle, we will be able to fight it effectively. We are now fighting this like it's flesh and bone. It's not. We're using a losing strategy. Understand this is a spiritual battle and begin to fight like that. And we know how the story ends.
All right, so it is a spiritual battle. Well, the Word of God also says this: woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Check this out.
I'm pro-choice, but a government that can force a group of...
Let's hear that once again.
Him what to do with his private business. I'm pro-choice.
This is Dave Rubin. Pro-choice is murdering babies. Pro-choice is pro-abortion. That's pro-choice, folks. Pro-choice is pro-abortion. You can say, oh, I don't care, you know, what the baker does and the government... And I don't want the government interfering. And you can say all of that. You can be as libertarian as you think you want to be. But biblical Christian conservatism is not godless libertarians taking the position that sodomy is okay, that sodomites adopting children is okay, and that baby killers belong on networks where the head of that network says we're in a spiritual war. But hey, you know what? We're in a spiritual war. But I'm still going to put forward the most wicked and evil deception you could possibly believe. And I'm going to let that run on my network. I'm going to put a sodomite who believes in killing babies but we're going to let him espouse certain values like small government. And we're just going to let him, you know, say those things. Listen, I'm not saying shut everybody up or limit their speech. But what I am saying is this. If you're going to represent yourself as a network that's Christian and biblical and Bible-centered, and you're going to get on and talk about the evil and the wicked that we're fighting today, and it is evil, it is wicked, it is darkness, that is what we're working against, that is what we're fighting against. But man, if you leave your back door open, you're going to get blindsided and you're going to get knocked out and you're not going to have the protection of God, because God cannot protect sodomites and baby killers. I'm out.
And so let me give you another piece to this. I want to play for you now something that I played earlier this week, and I'm hammering on this, folks, because of what we are facing right now and what's happening to our children. And we are going to be held accountable for what's happening to the children. We must speak up. We must engage. And we must continue. And part of my job here is to educate and inform and enlighten. And there's a quote in a 2014 Christian Post article written by Joe Carter. And he writes, "I had thought the claims of those who opposed homosexual behavior were bigots, and essentially arguing for homosexual Jim Crow laws was a recent change in radical rhetoric, but I was wrong." And then he goes on and says, "Instead, there is a concerted effort to vilify religious believers who oppose homosexual behavior. The attack that happened to the school in Tennessee was because this trans wanted to kill Christians and proceeded to murder three adults and three children and would have murdered many more had it not been for brave police officers going in and ending this. But this is domestic terrorism, and this is what they are, this is their goal." And folks, you know, it's interesting. John Willis said something, I don't know if he said it on air or not, but it's okay. What he said was, he said, if I imagine these people speaking in German, then I'm able to get this. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a militant, homosexually driven SS that mercilessly murdered and killed Germans who would not bow down and kiss the ring of Hitler. Because once you have breached that barrier, the Word of God says that they've been given a debased mind. That means there's no limit to the wickedness and the evil, pure, unadulterated evil that they will perform. And it's why they are going after our children, first, because they are sick deviants. And it is their plan. When you read the overhauling of Straight America, when you read that document, okay, and I shared this with you yesterday, when you read that document, here it is. "A media campaign to promote the gay victim image should make use of symbols which reduce the mainstream sense of threat, which lower its guard, which enhance the plausibility of victimization. In practical terms, this means jaunty mustachioed muscle men would keep very low profile in gay commercials and other public presentations, while sympathetic figures of nice young people, old people, and attractive women would be featured. Now watch this. It almost goes without saying that groups on the farthest margin of acceptability. Look, it's the same thing that I'm telling you when it comes to this issue of abortion. Well, you know, I'm begrudgingly pro-choice. Look, if you are in support of killing babies, you are in support of killing babies, period. That's it. Game over, end of story. That's the deal. And any support of killing babies is wrong. Wrong. God created that life. It's wrong. And so here we have, right at the very beginning, understand, at the farthest margin of acceptability, NAMBLA. And what is NAMBLA? NAMBLA is the North American Man-Boy Love Association. It is exactly what it says that it is. It is the acceptance of pedophilia. It is the acceptance of men having sex with boys. And it is the grooming process that is happening in every public school all across this country. Your children are being groomed to become victims of rape and sodomy. And it's the reason why the number has jumped since Obergefell. Because now they're openly teaching it. Oh, previously they were privately, kind of in the dark, manipulating. Now they're just blatantly doing it. Now they're blatantly bringing in the drag queens. Now they're blatantly bringing in the people who are telling your boy that you're not a boy, you're a girl. You know you want to be a girl, so we can sodomize you. You don't believe me? Well, this is the truth about Stonewall. And Obama introduced it. Watch this.
Let's start with this astounding presidential embrace of the ongoing American Revolution from Lexington and Concord to Seneca Falls, Selma, and Stonewall.
The story of progress sought by those with little influence or power, by men and women who brought about change through quiet personal acts of compassion and defiance, wherever and whenever they could. It's the story of the Stonewall protests, when a group of citizens with a few options, and fewer supporters stood up against discrimination and helped to inspire a movement. Just as it guided our forebears through Seneca Falls and Selma and Stonewall.
By including the Stonewall riots alongside the events at Seneca Falls, New York, and Selma, Alabama, the president classified the struggle for gay rights as a broader struggle for civil rights.
We are all only here because of those who marched and bled and died from Selma to Stonewall in a pursuit of that more perfect union that is the promise of this country.
Previous generations should give you hope. What young generations have done before should give you hope. Young folks who marched and mobilized and stood up and sat in from Seneca Falls to Selma to Stonewall didn't just do it for themselves, they did it for other people. That's how we achieved women's rights. That's how we achieved voting rights. That's how we achieved workers' rights. That's how we achieved gay rights. That's how we've made this union more perfect.
From Seneca Falls to Selma to Stonewall, great alliteration and a memorable soundbite. But when it comes to connecting the gay rights movement to past struggles to secure the constitutional rights for women and African Americans, it doesn't work on a number of levels. For starters, homosexuals were not being denied the right to vote or forced to attend all gay schools, drink from certain water fountains, or sit in the balcony at movie theaters. On average, they've enjoyed a level of prosperity, and cultural and now even political influence that is among the highest of any minority group in the country. But it's interesting to consider another big problem with the analogy, one that illustrates some of the systemic problems within the LGBTQ lifestyle and the gay rights movement. From Selma to Stonewall. Well, first, what was Selma? In 1965, Selma, Alabama became one of the key staging points for the civil rights movement. This southern state, under the leadership of Governor George Wallace, had become a national symbol for segregation and the disenfranchisement of African Americans.
And I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
Something as basic as the constitutional right to vote was being denied to most blacks in Alabama through political and administrative dodges. Under Dr. King's and other civil rights leaders' influence, people began to nonviolently push back against this injustice. Right to vote rallies were held at courthouses, where they were often met with force. A series of peaceful marches were then planned, with the protesters walking the 54 miles from Selma to the state capital of Montgomery. The first march took place on March 7th, later to be known as Bloody Sunday. The participants didn't even make it out of town before police used tear gas and billy clubs to force them to disperse. Other demonstrations, most famously in Birmingham, saw the use of dogs and fire hoses. All this to keep African Americans from voting and making sure they stayed segregated from whites. Now, in contrast, what was Stonewall?
I'm so excited to be at Stonewall, where the whole gay revolution kicked off. It's a really good feeling.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think this is cool. I mean, this is where, what was it, like a drag queen threw a brick, and that started the whole, like, gay movement, and we're here celebrating.
The Stonewall Inn was a mafia-run bar in Greenwich Village, part of the growing gay club scene in New York City. It was a seedy place frequented by drag queens and street kids, many of them underage for both drinking and sex. For older men who wanted to have sex with boys, the chicken hawk trade it was called, the Stonewall was a prime place to go. Now, to really understand what transpired at the Stonewall Inn in June of 1969, it's important to get some historical and cultural context. By 1960, New York City had become a mecca of sorts for homosexuals, second only to San Francisco.
In the early 60s, if you would go near Port Authority, there were tons of people coming in, and they were gay.
The AIDS crisis was two decades away, and a culture of unbridled sexual activity developed. It's fair to say, even if politically incorrect, that the bent towards promiscuity among homosexual men turned the gay scene in New York into something not unlike a nonstop orgy.
You know, you had to be a certain age, but the testosterone was flowing and you had to get cooking and it just came naturally.
Anything that was in pornography, you could have in abundance on the street any day, walk in any gym, more beautiful men, more available right out the door into their apartment. The party starts in an hour. You can go to the back room right down there now. It was like life was a pornographic film.
We said very openly we were out for the sexual liberation of all people. We practiced what we preached. You would go to demonstrations. The hormones were raging at these things. Let's be real, you know, everybody was like 19, 20 years old with their shirts off on a hot, sweaty day. We'd be cruising our butts off.
And a lot of the sex was happening outside the privacy of people's homes. Bathhouses, public bathrooms, dance clubs, the subway, trysts in Central Park or Fire Island, abandoned piers on the Hudson River, and truck trailers under the Miller Highway. All this not only ramped up the levels of sexual debauchery, it started to intrude into the public consciousness. Sections of New York became increasingly known for being sleazy and fostering other types of decadence. Drug and alcohol abuse, prostitution, and statutory rape.
Ed Koch, who was a Democratic Party leader in the Greenwich Village area, was a specific leader of the local forces seeking to clean up the streets.
There were complaints from people who objected to the wrongful behavior of some gays who would have sex on the street. And the village has a lot of people with children, and they were offended.
It just so happens that I personally experienced a taste of this just a few weeks before Stonewall. I was 15 at the time and on my way to a summer camp outside of New York City. My bus from home took me to the Port Authority bus terminal, where I was going to catch a connecting bus to the camp. I made the mistake of going to a restroom there, and no sooner started using the urinal when a very creepy, much older man knelt down and stuck his face just inches away from my privates. I ran out terrified. And then when I got in line for my bus, a small group of homosexual men began ogling me and, well, making lewd comments. As you can imagine, the whole experience completely freaked me out. And much later, I learned that this was all part of a significant MO within the homosexual community. Confused kids and runaways would come to New York City, frequently through the terminal, looking for whatever, and end up being drawn to the city's gay subculture. Many of them ended up on the streets, where they made money prostituting themselves to older men. And again, the Stonewall Inn was a major hangout for these kids. As this so-called gay sexual revolution expanded throughout the 60s, there were various attempts made to curtail its impact on the general public. Concerned about crime, as well as the city's image as host of the 1964 World's Fair, Mayor Robert F. Wagner Jr. ordered the police to try and clean things up. The next mayor, John Lindsay, did the same, particularly as the mayoral election loomed in 1969. Now, were there abuses of police power, the use of entrapment and other violations of people's constitutional rights? Were some people beaten up or arrested and even thrown in jail without due process? Yes, and these actions should be soundly condemned. But so also should the public debauchery, the drug abuse, statutory rape, and all the rest of the decadence and criminal activity that was beginning to profoundly impact the public safety, health, and culture. All this tension between the police and the homosexual subculture boiled over at 1:30 in the morning on June 28, 1969. 8 policemen entered the Stonewall and began what had become, on average, a monthly ritual. Customers were to be lined up and IDs and dress checked for underage drinking and transvestism, which at the time was illegal. Instead of cooperating, this time the patrons rebelled, and the Stonewall riot, which waxed and waned over the next 5 days, began. Property was destroyed by the rioters. Rocks and bottles were thrown at the police, and their car tires were slashed. Fires were started, and other mayhem ensued. And so the legend of Stonewall, as well as the modern gay rights movement, was officially launched. From Selma to Stonewall, the disparity between the two can perhaps best be summed up by contrasting iconic scenes from both events. In Alabama, the police using clubs, gas, dogs, horses, and fire hoses against nonviolent protesters in an effort to make them disperse. And who were these peaceable demonstrators? Mostly Christian ministers and their parishioners, salt-of-the-earth types, people who believed in the biblical standards of hard work, honesty, chastity, marriage, and family. And their cause, the right to an equal education, to sit wherever they wanted on a bus or in a movie theater if they bought the same ticket as a white person, and the right to vote. And Stonewall?
Those mesh garbage cans being lit up on fire and being thrown at the police, tires were slashed on police cars, and it just went on all night long.
Cops got hurt. It must have been terrifying for them. I hope it was.
There, the police were defending themselves and the community against violent protesters. And who were the people rioting? Well, in the words of the producers of Stonewall Uprising, a pro-gay rights film that deliberately sought to connect the riots to the civil rights movement, they were...
The rioters were street kids, prostitutes, bar flies, and we're like, wow, you know...
And their great cause, it's difficult to define comprehensively. Unlike Dr. King's movement, the riots, to say the least, didn't exactly spring from a culture of prayer, planning, and systematic appeals through civil and legal channels. Now, there's little question that the right to due process and to protest illegal harassment was part of the motivational mix. But then, so were alcohol, drugs, and the moral anarchy associated with the location, the lifestyles of the rioters, and the fact that it took place in the dead of night. In the end, only the naive, the politically correct, or those with a pro-gay agenda can deny the larger cause, the right for homosexuals to be accepted, affirmed, and left to themselves to pretty much do whatever they want sexually.
We've been able to carve out these zones of safety for ourselves, and we were now able to explore our sexualities. For many people, that was the be-all and end-all of gay liberation. People got what they wanted, and once that happened, political organizing really took a backseat to the party.
And if you want even more evidence of the radical disparity between these two seminal events, consider the commemorative demonstrations that have marked their respective anniversaries. For Selma and Bloody Sunday, it has been peaceable and dignified activities featuring families, clergy, hymn singing, and churches as both backdrops and staging grounds, all broadly representative of both the community and the respective sides of the former divide, and all designed to bring healing, restoration, and unity. As for the 25th anniversary of Stonewall,
the story of the Stonewall protest, a group of citizens with few options and fewer supporters stood up against discrimination and helped inspire movement. By men and women who brought about change through quiet and personal acts of compassion and defiance, wherever and whenever they could.
History is being manipulated here in pretty profound ways. Bad analogies are being drawn left and right between miscegenation laws and efforts to restrict the definition of marriage to being between a man and a woman. Biblical admonitions concerning gay sex to kosher food laws. The LGBTQ platform and the civil rights movement. On and on it goes. Stonewall wasn't any Selma. And gay is not the new black.
And so now you see the truth. This is the overhauling of straight America. It begins by telling us that their first order of business is to desensitize the American public concerning gays and gay rights. To desensitize the public is to help it view homosexuality with indifference instead of keen emotion. Ideally, we would have straights register themselves in sexual preference the way they register different tastes for ice cream or sports games. She likes strawberry and I like vanilla. He follows baseball and I follow football. No big deal. But God's word says that it is a big deal. God's word says that it is a significant cause for us to cause, well, questions about it, for sure. The Word of God says that homosexuality is wrong, but for a myriad of reasons. The reasons are that it is destructive to a society and a culture. As I explained before, we watched From Selma to Stonewall. When you pierce the conscience of a people, when you destroy their concept of right and wrong, when you introduce something that is so horrid, so horrendous, so sick, so as to actually literally split an individual, when a child is sexually molested, there is a literally a split that takes place. inside that child. The part that tries to deal with the injury and the assault and the core of that person, that the split is holding on to the pain so that hopefully they can somehow continue in life. It literally causes a split. And it is wholly destructive. The introduction of these, of the pornographic material, which is all about the grooming, the use of Alfred Kinsey's psychology. I mean, when you think about this as just a normal common sense person, why would you take infants that are just months old and introduce them to mechanical mechanisms in an attempt to try to get them to orgasm and then record that and call that some kind of medical research? That's not medical research. That's child abuse. Somebody should have immediately arrested this man, and he should have been put away at probably in isolation, quite frankly. But instead, he was funded and he was allowed to continue this kind of research and write it down and put it out in a book. And Alfred Kinsey's research, his concept that children are sexual beings and should be introduced to sex at as young an age as possible because that's what they want, that's what they enjoy, breaching their innocence, breaching their consciousness, breaching their conscience, destroying it, splitting them. This is the destructive work that's happening in our school system, and it has been legalized because sodomy has been legalized and is taught as a normative practice. Because when you put two males, as the pastor said, it's an exit. You don't enter an exit. So when you put two males together and you say, okay, this is a normal relational situation, there's no possible way to escape. And they actually teach this sexual violation in the sex ed classes. And now they've taken this the next step, and they are grooming the boys by giving them hormones to try to change them, or grooming the girls by giving them testosterone. The hormones and the drugs that they're giving little boys who they've convinced want to be girls are the same drugs that they give to rapists. That's chemical castration. This is what's being introduced, ladies and gentlemen. And it's all written right here. This was the plan from the very beginning. Talk about gays and gayness as loudly and as often as possible. Portray gays as victims. I talked to you earlier. The North American Man-Boy Love Association. Oh, it can play no part in an original campaign, but now it can. The campaigning is over, ladies and gentlemen. The campaigning is over. Oh, and let's give protectors a just cause. You just watched from Selma to Stonewall. And you see how they manipulated in order to cause individuals to protect. We talk about this topic now, and oh, I can't really go there because, you know, I've got an aunt or an uncle, or I got a niece. I've got a niece or a nephew or a child or someone I know that is in this lifestyle. if you truly love them, if you truly care about them and their soul and their eternity, you've got to take a stand. Janet Boynes talks about, you know, they introduced me to the church and they said, come in, but they didn't shy away from her understanding that the lifestyle that she'd been in and the actions that she'd been participating in were ungodly and sinful. And we have to, George Carneal Jr. has a great book out. I really encourage you. It's called From Queer to Christ. From Queer to Christ. 25 years he spent in that lifestyle. And he addresses these issues. And you know, when you look around, Kamala Harris going over and giving speeches about how, lesbian sodomite, and the people in Africa are like going, are you nuts? Are you outside of your mind? America, this is what America is all about in their education system. That's okay. We'll stay here. It is absolutely abhorrent. And the fact that there's a silence about addressing the issue because we're afraid to offend, we're the ones that are being offended. Our children are the ones that are being victimized. I can't drive that point home more vehemently. The children are being victimized. And for these whack jobs to think, oh, we're going to have a day of vengeance, it's absolutely completely upside down. Completely upside down. Yes, we need laws back on the books that put this back in its place. I do believe that. And you say, well, we can't, you know, we can't legislate morality. You've got to be blind because they have legislated using secular humanism. They have legislated their morality, and that's what they're teaching children, their morality, their sickness, their deviance, their perversion, and they are destroying these children, destroying them. And we as believers are going to be held accountable. We must stop this. It must stop. And my earlier portion of this program, my message and my challenge to Glenn Beck is you need to remove David Rubin from your network. You need to have a sit-down conversation with Mr. Rubin and say, Mr. Rubin, we don't promote your ideals. We do not support sodomite unions. We do not support sodomites adopting children who are then going to grow up in a very unnatural, completely unnatural. I don't care how quote-unquote loving you want to pretend it is. The act of sex between Dave Rubin and his other is violent. It's violent. Because exits are not where you put a go. You don't enter the exit. And if you're entering the exit, it's violent. Period. There's no other way around it. It is violent. And it needs to be addressed accordingly. They removed Tommy Lahren because she said she was pro-choice. And yet they put this man up there and he is now supposed to be a leading voice in conservatism. He's not. And for the sake of his own soul, if you love David Rubin, if you care about him as a human being, and his other, then you don't say, well, go ahead and do that. I don't want to see David Rubin go to hell, but he is headed there. That is what's going to happen. That's what the Bible says. I'd love to see David Rubin set free from that. I'd love for him to know that he can have a healthy male relationship that doesn't involve sodomy, and that those kinds of feelings and emotions are wrong and they're unnatural, and introducing children into that environment is child abuse. It's child abuse. And Glenn Beck, you need to stand up and say, I just said we're battling evil. We are. So quit promoting evil on your network. I got to jump. India's next.
Hi, I'm Tim. Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner for over 40 years. I want to introduce you. This is a healthy alternative to the other heavily caffeinated energy drinks out on the market today, available at cgrwellness.com. UltraShot has four powerful blends to wake up your senses. 1 ounce of UltraShot, about 6 hours of clean energy for me with no jitters or crash at the end. UltraShot has seven different B vitamins in its formula that work synergistically with each other. The mineral chromium, manganese, and vanadium are specifically selected for support cellular energy and healthy blood sugar levels. UltraShot also contains exotic herbals. UltraShot's available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a handy 1 ounce travel packet for life on the go. When I'm driving, I've got another 3 hours to go to get to my destination. I reach for an UltraShot. Thanks to UltraShot, I keep my focus and stay safe on the road. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Enter coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout to receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.